From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump's administration is considering the controversial practice of separating undocumented parents from their children at the U.S.-Mexico border. News reports confirm that Immigration and Customs Enforcement has approved the policy and that the White House might do the same. This would mean that upon their arrival in the U.S., undocumented parents would be sent to detention facilities for adults, while their children could be put into juvenile facilities. Meanwhile, a group of undocumented immigrants and their allies were arrested on Thursday in the middle of the Capitol Rotunda in Washington, D.C. The eight immigrants are recipients of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program, which Trump canceled earlier this year. Congress has failed to do anything about DACA or the DREAM Act. Democrats had earlier vowed to demand progress on DACA in exchange for their support for a Republican spending bill. But on Thursday, the Senate passed a stopgap measure that by 66-32 to avert a government shutdown, deferring the political fight over DACA as well as the child health insurance program for a month. My guest is Renata Maurice. She is an organizer with the group Cosecha. She was arrested on Thursday in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the program, Renata.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So you are a recipient of DACA, right?
Correct.
Can you explain what happened on Thursday, how many were arrested, and why you were arrested?
Yeah. So Thursday's action was really a follow-up to uplift the sacrifices that the Dream 7 had made. We had seven DACA recipients arrested for 6 days in jail on hunger strike to build a moral crisis to the American public that we've had enough, that we have nothing else to lose at this point. And we were pressuring Senator Schumer to do something, and he still hasn't responded. So this Thursday's action was really something to call to action and to hold them accountable. It was to highlight that we are willing to take bold risks, that we have been fighting for over 10 years and are still fighting, and the Democrats have failed us. So Thursday's action, we went to the rotunda, we shared our stories, we chanted that we're fighting for this, we're fighting for our families. They're the ones that are driving our sacrifices. Their sacrifices are the ones that are in our minds while we take this work. So we chanted, we shared stories, we sat in the rotunda until they arrested us. And it was, at least to me as a DACA recipient, it was nothing compared to the sacrifice that our families continue to make every day, working 12 hours a day, getting paid less than minimum wage, getting exploited, living in fear of deportation every day. So I think what DACA recipients are feeling right now by taking these kind of risks is that we have nothing else to lose, and that it's our time to stand up and be bold.
So you mentioned the DACA, the Dream 7. This is a group of DACA recipients who are activists. They've been on hunger strike, and then your group of immigrants, of DACA recipients, as well as a number of allies on Thursday confronted not Republicans, but Democrats. So let's talk a little bit about the political situation. Because Donald Trump had canceled DACA, he had then, as part of that cancellation, and I suppose in order to not appear too cruel, said that it was now up to Congress to either legislate in some way some sort of a permanent solution on DACA recipients through something like a DREAM Act. That did not happen. And so Democrats, some Democrats at least, and even the Democratic leadership had initially said that they wouldn't pass a spending bill with the Republicans unless there was some sort of solution on DACA presented. But on Thursday, a stopgap measure was passed with the support of some Democrats, not all. 66 senators total voted for it, so some Democrats did vote. And so now the decision or the political battle over DACA and the spending bill has been pushed to January. Is that accurate?
Yeah, correct.
And so what did Chuck Schumer, how did Chuck Schumer explain what happened on Thursday?
He didn't explain. I think what we've been really frustrated about has been his lack of attention and acknowledgement about the sacrifices that the Dream Seven have done by staying in jail for 6 days and on hunger strike. So he's failed us. And what a lot of our actions were targeting him initially, because he had the power to stop the spending bill from continuing without a Dream Act. So we're just really frustrated with him and with the Democratic Party right now, but we're going to continue escalating action that relies more in the collective action of our people instead of focusing on what they're doing in Congress. Both parties have failed us continuously for over 10 years. So now our actions are more a calling for people to come to the streets with us, to come take action with us.
So the Democrats could have held firm, and if they had refused at least, you know, to vote for the spending bill, even the stopgap measure, what would have happened is right before Christmas, there would have been a government shutdown. There wouldn't have been any federal spending. And you wish that they had done that, stood firm right before Christmas and brought the government to a standstill over this.
Yeah, we do. And we believe that these votes have been votes to deport our communities right now. Today, tomorrow, the next day, people are going to start going home for the holidays, but our communities are not any better. Our communities are still living under fear of deportation, and this was a betrayal to the immigrant community that Democrats say that they care about.
Let's talk about what you want specifically for the Democrats to do. There are calls for a Clean Dream Act. What does that mean, a Clean Dream Act?
So to us, a Clean Dream Act means a Dream Act that doesn't use us as a way to criminalize our families even more. So it means a Dream Act with no parts of it that include any further militarization of the border, any further mass raids of our families.
Because Democrats in the past have done that, right? President Obama essentially ramped up enforcement, hoping that the Republican Party would meet him on comprehensive immigration reform. When that didn't happen, the Dream Act, when that didn't happen, he signed the DACA program into law with he actually signed an executive order. It didn't become law. But the Democrats have often seemed to be willing to exchange Dreamers' well-being for other undocumented immigrants. Except, of course, undocumented immigrants are parts of communities that can't be separated. So there's mixed status families, right?
Exactly. And our idea is that if Dreamers are going to be better off, we're not willing to move forward without our families. A Clean Dream Act means, even though it won't give any pathway to citizenship to our families, it's still a peace of mind. It's still, you know, I think speaking from personally, when DACA was rescinded, all my mother was worried about was whether I would be able to continue my studies and whether I would be able to get a job that can help us be financially stable within the next couple of years. So at this point, our families are in this fight with us. They are the original Dreamers to us, and we're not willing to sacrifice their well-being They're everything, just for something that will only benefit us.
What do you expect now might happen in January if this decision on a spending bill has been postponed and the fight over DACA and really even the child health insurance program has been postponed until January? Will you and your fellow DACA recipients and activists essentially be active throughout the month of December into January? Or do you have actions planned in January? Are you holding the Democrats' feet to the fire in January? They let you down in December, but maybe with enough pressure, they might change their position in January on the full spending bill.
Yeah, so something that we were chanting on Thursday as we were arrested from the rotunda was that we would be back. So we're going to continue to hold them accountable. We're escalating action. On Thursday, Democrats voted to deport Dreamers and once again have shown that they failed us.
So you consider
And
the
we're not
vote
starting.
on the stopgap measure as a vote to deport Dreamers?
Yes. Absolutely. And we're at a point where we can't wait any longer and we can't believe their false promises anymore. So we're going to continue to escalate action throughout December, throughout January. And we believe that what happened on Thursday is not a loss on our part because we have seen thousands of folks who became aware of the Dream 7 that were making a sacrifice in jail. And a lot of them came to DC to take action with us. A lot of them have called their communities to action. There have been various vigils around the country throughout the week as our actions in DC have escalated. So in a way, this is a win for us because we are building within our community. People who are in the shadows before are not anymore. We have people feeling empowered. So even though the political climate right now might feel like a loss, to us it has continued to empower us not to give up, because we know that this is not an easy fight and it takes bold sacrifices for us to win. So we'll continue to do whatever it takes.
How has the cancellation of DACA affected your life personally, Hanata?
Well, I'm almost going to be a college graduate. It's taken me around 8 years or so to get my bachelor's degree because of my immigration status. And with DACA, there was a hope of financial stability for me and my family. I'm the first one in my family to go to college. It was almost like this promise of now we're gonna do a little better. My mother wouldn't have to work so much as she does. Maybe I could even help them retire. So DACA was kind of this peace of mind to know that at least one person in our family could help support us and better conditions that we've been in over the last 10 years that we've been here. But the DACA repeal has kind of made that uncertain again. My DACA expires next year, well, in 2018. And so having a college degree without the ability of working in the country legally definitely adds barriers to what we were hoping that our future could look like. But I think that that's why I came back to Cosecha, and that's why I'm here fighting for my family in this way. Because even if I can't provide for them financially at the moment, I'm fighting for the right to not have my family taken away from me, and for them to hopefully see me in the future, for them to see more accomplishments that we can make collectively and for us to stay together. So it's as equally important as getting my education or getting a job that will be financially stability for us. I think this work is out of need, and that's how a lot of undocumented and DACA youth feel at the moment.
So finally, Hinata, will the best holiday gift to immigrant communities in the U.S. be making a number of phone calls to one's member of Congress about the January political fight over DACA and the spending bill?
Definitely. I think what we really want more folks to get involved with the Seed Project and Cosecha. We're going to meet again and see how we're going to escalate. And we're strategizing around what can be done until January, but we're definitely not going to stop. And so the best way to get involved and to help us is both through donating and also through coming and taking on the streets with us and taking actions within your own community. Specifically, if folks could text Our Dream to 41411, you'll be connected to folks here in the Seed Project and Cosecha. And there are various ways that we connect folks depending on how they like to do. So it could be either through helping you start something within your own community. We build support and send folks to different areas to help build grassroots power, but also through monetary support. We're a 100% volunteer-based organization. So none of the volunteer organizers get paid. We live off the support of the community. So that's also incredibly important for our movement to move on.
Well, Hinata, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post links to and the information that you mentioned on our website. Thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Hinata Maurice is an organizer with Cosecha. We've been discussing why she and others were arrested in Washington, D.C. on the Thursday before Christmas. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.